In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are on the cusp of the great fast, which will begin technically tomorrow. But of course, when we say the Forgiveness Vespers immediately after liturgy, we've sort of tried to enter into the Spirit. And many of us are probably wondering why do we fast? I mean, what is the point of a fast anyway? Who came up with this idea? You know, what good is it? It seems so hard, and you know I do it, and I struggle, and I try and follow it as best I can, and yet, you know, nothing ever happens, like we're, you know, expecting to win a prize or something like that. But we need to go back, like we do in so many things, back to the Garden of Eden. Because fasting originated there. It's important to realize that fasting is not just a part of our fallen human nature and the circumstances that we find ourselves in. No. Fasting was something that was commanded and done even in paradise. Because fasting, of course, is a discipline, but it's also a proof of obedience. And the Lord said to Adam and Eve, you know, everything here in this garden is yours. Tend it. You have complete control of everything. You can name the animals. You can do whatever you want. But there's one tree that you cannot eat from. So from the very beginning, we were commanded by the Lord to fast. To fast at least from this one tree. And of course, we know how that turned out, don't we? It didn't work out very well. Even that one tree became such a source of temptation that it led to the condition that we all find ourselves in now. But of course, even through all of the Old Testament, fasting was a very, very important thing to do. It was seen as a way of atonement for sin in many instances. And of course, when the Lord came, who certainly did not need atoning for anything, he voluntarily fasted all the time. All the time. I mean, he spent 40 days in the wilderness fasting, showing us as an example that if the God-man himself saw that it was an important thing to fast, then we should also. So on this Sunday, we commemorate, I almost said celebrate, but it's not really a celebration. It's a commemoration of what we call the expulsion of Adam and Eve from paradise. After the sin that they committed in disobeying the Lord by eating of that forbidden fruit, they were cast out of that wonderful paradise and then told that because of their disobedience, this is what would happen. These are the things that came upon them, that Eve would give birth in great travail, and that Adam, in order to cultivate the fruits of the earth, would work by the sweat of his brow, and it was not going to be something easy. And it hasn't been easy for us since then. But yet, fasting, of course, helps bring us back to that original state. It helps deny ourselves. It helps for us to put aside our wills, for our own desires, which, being human beings, there are survival aspects to our wills and our desires. But because of our passionate nature and the fact that we are in a fallen world, these desires get completely out of balance. They are unchecked. And so we find ourselves following our baser instincts in these things, not just eating what we need, for instance, but eating a whole lot more than that. Eating for simple enjoyment instead of just adding sustenance to the body. But fasting also allows us to focus spiritually on the things of God. Now, as all the fathers and saints that I'm aware of tell us, if we're fasting simply because we are, you know, trying to keep a rule, or following what the church teaches to the letter of the law, but we are not praying more, we are not reading more, we are not attending church more, we are not doing these things, then our fasting is for naught. It's just a simple dietary exercise, and it won't profit you anything. Not a thing. There are a lot of people in this world that have enough self-will that they could keep a discipline of fasting without much problem, whether Christian or not. You see this all over the place. But for us, it's a tool. It's a tool to help focus us more on God, more on being receptive to Him and becoming the type of people that He wants us to be. In today's gospel, in fact, the Lord picks up on this whole theme and transforms it into one of forgiveness. And after hearing about the Sunday of the Last Judgment last week, where all of a sudden it was presented to us how we are going to be judged, the Lord comes again with a statement that, you know, lays it on the line. He says, if you wish others to forgive you, then you must forgive them. It's that simple. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you want to be forgiven, then you must forgive yourself. And fasting helps us to crack that hardness of heart, to soften our souls, to soften our characters, in order that we may be more easily able to forgive someone else. It's also not a coincidence that right after saying this, he goes right into fasting. He talks about this forgiveness, and then he says, and when you fast, don't be as the hypocrites. In other words, it's a very real temptation sometimes to boast in our fasting, even if we're boasting only to ourselves. Well, I'm proud of myself. I kept the letter of the law fast the whole time. I didn't let meat touch my mouth I didn't even smell an egg, and I didn't look at any dairy products. I mean, I just kept it so brilliantly. And yet, you come out of the fast and you're more prideful than you were when you went into it. And the Lord says, no, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't let anyone know that you're fasting. Don't even give a hint. You know, wash your face, comb your hair, look like you do every single day. Don't go about all downtrodden and putting on a show or exhibition, but simply fast quietly. Because those who show off during the fast, or those who even exalt themselves because of the quality of their fasting, that is their reward, right then and there. And that's not the reward you want. There's many better things in store. So don't cheat yourself by claiming the reward early because of being boastful, because of fasting. So fasting, forgiveness, they go hand in hand. They are part and parcel of the same fabric. We fast, of course, to discipline our bodies, to break our wills, and even, according to one of the fathers of the church who said, you say that there are no spiritual fathers anymore who can guide us and to help us and to tell us what we need to know, but yet there is one. It's called fasting. By being obedient to the fast, you are being obedient to the church, and you are submitting yourself to this sort of spiritual guidance that the church gives us. It's a very important concept. We're all without excuse here. We like to find reasons for not doing it, for not committing ourselves more fully during this Lenten period, but the church heads us off at every turn. Even if you can't find somebody to help you through the fast, you've got fasting to do it itself. Today is also called, of course, though, Forgiveness Sunday because of this gospel that we hear today. And at the end of the liturgy, we'll have the Vespers for forgiveness when we will ask each other for forgiveness. And in doing so, we are essentially asking all of humanity for forgiveness as well. We are bowing down before each other as human beings who are all caught up in this great web of fallen nature and of deceit and sin and all the things that we do in our own lives that we know if we would but clean up just a little bit, the world would be a better place off because of it. This is a very important day and a very important service for us to focus ourselves on what's coming up. It seems to creep up pretty quickly every year. All of a sudden, I'm thinking, gee, it's Zacchaeus Sunday already. We've got 4 weeks, and then these other weeks seem to pass so quickly. And then all of a sudden, Great Lent is here. It's almost a metaphor for our lives as well. We live our lives, we're not thinking about this, that, or the other, and then everything just blows by so quickly, and all of a sudden, there's the great judgment. It's the same thing with Lent every year, which is why the church does this, because we need to bring ourselves in alignment with the spirit of the church during this time. I've said it many, many times before. The devil knows what this time of year is all about. You may not, but that's not going to stop him from coming after you. It's better to be prepared during this time. I don't say that to scare anybody, but I've heard enough Lenten stories of surprise temptations and things that have happened to know that it's much better to face this reality of this very holy time in the church's life head on and to be prepared. Be prepared. This is the time that is set apart for us to remind ourselves why we are here, why we are placed on this earth, to repent of our sins, to worship God, to slowly come back towards Him and become like Him. That's why we are given this time, this really wonderful holy time. And it is a special and holy time. It's got a certain feeling about it that you can tell when the fast is here, when the Lent is here. So take this opportunity to genuinely cultivate forgiveness in your hearts for everyone, absolutely everyone. You don't have to like them. You don't have to love them necessarily the way we normally think about love, but you do have to forgive them and to cultivate the love of them as a human being, as someone created in the image and likeness of God, just as you are, just as you are, no different whatsoever. I wish all of you a blessed and great Lent, and ask that you will pray for one another during this time, that you will increase your spirituality in terms of your spiritual exercises and devotions and church attendance and prayer and all these things, because this is it. This is the time that we're starting, and this is the time that we should all be taking in order to draw near to our God, so that when the bright resurrection of Christ comes upon us, we'll be certainly prepared for it. Amen.